Several months ago, David asked if I could come and share with you on a Sunday night, and I said, absolutely, you just let me know when. And when he asked me that, I knew exactly what the sermon I was going to preach on. I preached it once before, and then I wasn't here for several months. And I ran into him up at Lake James at the men's rally. He goes, hey, I asked you to come, and then I didn't see you anymore. What I wanted to say was, take a clue there, buddy. That's why I didn't show up. No, I was just busy and got tired and stuff. But I've always appreciated coming here on Sunday nights, because a lot of times, to be honest with you, when I'm on Sunday mornings and I'm preaching and presenting at other churches on behalf of the children's home or doing whatever, sometimes I just need to be set back and fed. And that's why I come here a lot on Sunday nights. And you guys have never disappointed me on that yet. So thank you for that and your support. One of the things I want to start out by saying is, as you all know, I'm on the serve on the board of directors of the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. I've been on the board for 13 years, and it'll be 14 years starting next year. And I consider it a true privilege to serve on that board with other godly men leading and directing God's kingdom work through there. When I get to go around and to the churches, and a lot of times well, why are you so compassionate about the children's home? And there's a lot of reasons why I'm on the board, but I'm going to tell you one story. I don't think I've shared this story here with you folks before, but I'm going to share it now. 18 years ago, my dad was doing some volunteer work out there when we were adding on to the expansions of two of the homes. Because of that, my dad got me involved to do some volunteer work out there. About that time, soon after we were finishing up that project, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And I was out there working, and two of the house dads, Hal and Dave Smith, came up to me and said, hey, we heard about your dad. And yeah, he's going to have surgery here in a couple weeks. And they asked me, when's the surgery? And I told them the date and the time. And I said, yeah, we got to be out at Lutheran Hospital like at 5 o'clock in the morning, because surgery's at 7. It just takes that long to get checked in and prep for surgery and stuff. He was going to have his kidney taken out. He had kidney cancer. And I believe it was Dave. It might have been Hal. One of the two said, well, we're going to get together that morning at a kitchen table, and we're going to pray. Okay. You know, I grew up in the church. When someone says they're going to get together and pray for you, I expect that. But what they did, I did not expect. 5:15 in the morning, Hal and Dave walked in at Lutheran Hospital and prayed with us there. When you know the time it takes to get from the children's home out to Lutheran Hospital, those guys had to have gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's that love that they showed to me and my family that I'll never forget. That's why I'm so passionate about it. To our current house parents and future house parents, they set the bar pretty high for you in my mind, so try to keep up. I've titled this message, and I title all my messages. Sometimes the title of the message has nothing to do with the point of it. Sometimes it's right there. And I do that for a couple of different reasons. Why? One is if someone says, hey, I heard you speak at such and such. I really like what you said. Could you tell me, expound on that? Whatever. I don't know what that is. What was the title of? They can tell me. Oh, now I remember. And I only got 6 or 7 messages that I've always got prepared, ready to go. This one is called I Plead the Fifth. And what do you normally hear, or what do you think of when you hear I plead the fifth? Nobody wants to say anything. They talk about the Fifth Amendment, you know, the one that says I plead the fifth so I don't incriminate myself. It's the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It creates several constitutional rights limiting government powers, focusing on criminal procedures. It was ratified in 1791 as part of the Bill of Rights. So those of you who are in school, remember that. It might be on a test for you someday. The purpose of that was to protect individuals from being forced to incriminate themselves. I don't know if I really agree with that. If you're being honest and stuff like that, and just by saying I plead the fifth, I'm not going to admit anything. You're already admitting something to it, you know. It also includes due process. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. exercising their right to remain silent and not incriminate themselves. Everybody has the right to remain silent, but not everybody's got the ability to do so. But what I'm talking about is the fifth commandment. That's what I'm talking about. The fifth commandment. Let me give you a little bit of a history lesson on the fifth, or a little bit of background on the Ten Commandments. Of the Ten Commandments, the first three have to do with obeying and honoring God, and it's a list of don'ts. The next ones of that, the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, and tenth commandments are a list of don'ts. That's 80% of them. Don't do this and don't do that. But number four, they are actions, things we need to do. The first one, the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. The fifth one, and this is the one I want to hone in on tonight, honor your father and mother. I've been looking forward to delivering this message tonight because I know that the message God's put on my heart will be touching every one of you here at some point, from a little child to a grumpy old man. Sorry, Hal. Everybody is going to have something that they can get out of this. This message has been stirring in my heart since early this year, when, as many of you know, my mom health started to decline. And she ended up passing away on Mother's Day morning. But during that time, I just kept thinking all the things I did for her. Am I honoring my mom? Am I honoring my dad? And I came up with lots of questions. How do I honor my mother and my father? Does that mean I always have to listen to them? Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. What if I don't know my mom or dad? Maybe they abandoned you as a child. What if they don't deserve to be honored? They're abusive, what have you. How can I honor them if I don't respect or love them? Does step-parents count? How about adoptive foster parents? Do those count? What about grandparents? Those count? Honor your father and mother. The word honor is a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. It's also a verb. It's an action, something you do, meaning to regard or treat someone with admiration and respect, to do what is right in God's eyes. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone, love brothers and sisters, fear God, honor the emperor. Four characteristics of honor, both giving and receiving. One is courage. During the 3 months I took care of mom, I had to demonstrate some courage. Sacrifice. I had to make some sacrifices. I put my family on hold. I put my job on hold. I made sacrifices. I did it with integrity. I had control of mom's checkbook the last 3 months, and I could have wiped it out and gone to Florida. But that's not integrity. Everything I did on my mom's finances, I let my sister in on it and get her input on it. Also, the fourth characteristic is that of commitment. You commit to doing it, to honoring. Why is honor so important? It helps us define who you are as a person while serving as a guiding light for your growth and your own character. 5 points of honoring of your mother and father I want to bring up tonight. Mother and father is anyone that God has placed in your life to fill that role, either for a lifetime or for a season. Over my lifetime, I can tell you, I've had girlfriends, parents that filled that role when my parents weren't necessarily around my area. People I've worked for, my boss, neighbors have filled that role. Older, mature men at church. And I've been blessed to grow up in the church, and I can think of dozens of guys that have filled that role. to help mentor me. Ministers. Just out of curiosity, a couple weeks ago, I made a list of all the preachers and ministers that I know within our brotherhood. I was shocked. There's 97 of them. They've all had some type of influence on me. I wasn't in 97 churches. Don't hear me say something I didn't say. But in my life, I've had birth parents. I was adopted as an infant along with my sister, who's 2 years younger than me. I've got my adoptive parents, which, to clarify, are my real parents. Foster parents can fill that role, step parents. And on step parents, I'm going to tell you, several years ago, a couple years after my dad passed away, Mom met another man and remarried, and I had a stepdad. And I've often thought, and I treated him just like my own dad. If he and my mom needed help with something or whatever, I did it. I've often thought of this over the last few years, is if my mom would have passed before he did, I would have stepped in and done whatever he needed to do to take care of him. Grandparents can fill that role for everyone. You know, back in March, I was up at Great Lakes Christian College doing some advisory work for them, I guess, on some capital improvement projects. And I was talking to one of the guys in the office, and there was a young college student there who heard me talking to this guy, Brian, about trying to get someone to come in and help Mom and stuff. And she goes, you know, I've taken care of my grandparents, and I'd be more than happy to come over and sit with your mom for a while so you and your sister can have a break and stuff. That touched me. Brian, who was there with me, kind of chuckled at her. She goes, well, he lives in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 2.5 hours away. But the thought that she had to pour out to support that, when President Frank Weller goes around and tells people that they're creating an environment to create and produce servant leaders, that is a prime example of a servant leader right there. Aunts and uncles can also be considered parents mother and fathers to fill that role, to honor them. Even your in-laws. You know, when you get married, my wife and I have been married for almost 27 years. When my Uncle Roger married us and he said, now you two will become one. Her parents are my parents were her parents. There is no such thing as, well, that's your parents, you help them out, I'm staying home. Let me be very clear on that. The only time that one person should get in the business of their parents is if the parents, the in-laws, are not being staying within their boundaries. You know, if your mother-in-law is butting into your family business on where you take the kids to church, how you treat them, getting your finances, it is your spouse's job to get in there and address it. Because if I go in and tell my mother-in-law what she's doing is wrong, I'm just going to be the bad guy, right? So it's that. But outside of that, if my mother-in-law and father-in-law, which they are, they're in their 70s, have some health issues and stuff, and but there's no difference. They're my mom and dad too. And if my mother-in-law and father-in-law need help, I will do whatever I need to do to help them, just like it was my own mom and dad. I will not tell my wife, well, that's your mother, you'd go take care of her. No, your mother's not moving in with us. I wouldn't never say that. And if anybody here hears me say that about that, you have my permission to come up, clobber him in the head, and beat the tar out of me. Weehee, no ideas. Neither you too, Hal. There's no difference. You make a commitment to your wife, and that means you take care of their families. There are numerous ways to honor your parents. One of them is to listen to them. I said listen, not necessarily obey. Earlier I read scripture about children obey your parents. Well, when I'm 40 years old, I don't need to listen to my parents because I'm no longer a child. I'm their child, and I should at least listen to them, but I don't necessarily have to obey them. Seek their advice. Regardless how old you are, regardless how much you think you know about things, I know, hey, when you're 14 years old, you think you know everything. And I'm telling you, When I was 14, I thought the same thing. I'm 53 years old, and I don't necessarily believe that anymore. In fact, I think I know less now than I ever did. But parents, don't tell your kids to do something that goes against God's word. Mark 9:42 says that do not cause one of these little ones to stumble. Don't cause them to sin. Because you will be the one that's held accountable for it. Also says that in Matthew 18:6. Speak with love and compassion about them. You know what? I had great parents. Godly parents. Being adopted, I can honestly stand back and look at my life and say, God literally plucked me out of a bad situation for a family and put me in with my mom and dad. When my dad passed away in 2007, Greg Kraft, minister at Cedar Creek, was at the funeral home. He came up to me and he goes, man, he says, I can't believe how much you look like your dad. Really? I asked him, what is it about that? Is it the picture we have on the wall or him in the cast? He goes, well, just, you know, I mean, look at this picture. And he showed me a picture. And back then they had collages of pictures on bulletin boards, not on the screen, you know. That's how long it's been. He goes, you guys look the same. And your mom and your sister look almost identical. And I said, well, would you believe that we're adopted? If you know Greg Kraft, he was speechless that day. None. And I've heard people say that, man, you look just like your mom, you look just like your dad. My wife will also sometimes say, you're just acting like your dad. She didn't mean it in a positive way, but I take it as a positive way. I'll tell you, my dad wasn't perfect, but he was godly. Care for them, help them in their time of need. It was not a hard decision for me to make when my mom needed help. It wasn't a hard decision for me to make to take care of my dad when his time needed help. A lot of times the child becomes the parent and the parent becomes the child. And I know there's more of you in here that have experienced that now, and I'm not the only one. There is a video that when I'm in my spare time, I like to watch videos on YouTube. And there's a guy out there who's got a YouTube video or a YouTube channel called Dan Salinger. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he and his wife are taking care of his dad, who's in his 90s, and he's got dementia. And they post these videos on how just the struggles that they have to deal with. And this is what he posted on their Facebook 5 or 6 a week ago. Taking care of my dad is one of the greatest honors of my life. He has always been there for me, and now it's my turn to be there for him. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. I love my dad more than words can say, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to care for him. I can say the same thing about my parents. Other things that you can do to show honor to your parents: driving them to the store, doctor's appointments, go with them to the doctor's appointments, engage with the doctor. I'm going to tell you, if you're middle-aged and you have parents that are getting elderly, get in their business with their health care. Get in there. Because, you know, if I would have been more determined and getting in, mom, you know, just instead of having her tell me, oh, yeah, doctor appointment went fine, you know, and all this, that, and the other. Get involved. Go with them to those doctor's appointments. Maybe you need to know what medications they're on. I had no idea what medications my mom was supposed to be on until I really got involved with it, and by that time she had declined in health. Balancing the checkbook, oversee their finances, help with housework chores, mow the yard, shovel snow, all that kind of stuff, vacuum dishes, laundry. Make sure the oil gets changed in their vehicle if they're driving. Drive them around if they need to. You know, one of the biggest blankets I've had over the last year and a half before mom passed was driving her to Warsaw every month for eye surgeries and stuff like that she's had to have with her eye conditions and stuff. Some of the best memories I've ever had of mom is in those cars and those drives. Call them regularly. Keep tabs on them. For me, it was a little different. I wanted to call mom every day, but I also didn't want to feel like I'm trying to run her life, you know. Visit often as you can. Hug them every chance you get and tell them you love them every chance you get. Now, parents, when your kids are wants to do those things for you, there's one thing that you need to do. Just one. Anybody want to guess what it is? Let them. Those are the exact words. Let them. Don't deny them that opportunity to be blessed to help you. Now, that's all good and stuff when you have loving parents that you love and you respect and all that. But I know, I've had friends, I've got people I know, you don't always grow up with godly parents that have treated you well. And some of the questions I've had is, do you need to honor them even when they don't deserve it? That's a tough question. What kind of mothers and fathers don't deserve to be honored by our standards? You know, if they're abusive, emotionally, sexually abusive, addicted to drugs. I mean, I can't imagine how a father would rather go out drinking with his buddies after work than to go home and play ball with his boy or girl. There are some fathers that took off when their girlfriend or whatever was found out to be pregnant. That was true in my case. When my birth mother, who was 17 years old, unwed, found out she was pregnant, my birth father took off and they never saw each other again. Of course, I can kind of understand why he did it. He was a 30-some-year-old man married with two kids of his own. Now, I only met him once. I enjoyed meeting him. And I gave him my number and stuff at the end of that 2-hour visit. I said, if you want to have a relationship and get to know me, call me. He never did call. Am I hurt by it? Nope. Why? I had a father. Why should I honor my mother and father when they are or were, fill in the blank, absent, whatever? Goes back to the question, do I need to honor them even when they don't deserve it? The answer is yes. In the Ten Commandments, it says, honor thy father and mother, period. Doesn't say honor thy father and mother except when or unless they. It is a period to do that. But why did God want us as a commandment to honor our father and mothers? There's a why. You know, when people ask me questions, I'll give them a direct answer, and then I'll tell them why I gave them that answer in life. Why is it so important to know the why in life? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? We do this because it's always about the why. When you know the why we're doing something, why do we tell others about Jesus? Well, we want them to go to heaven with us. That's the why we do it. Knowing the why gives us understanding and motivation to do that. The reason, the why we need to honor our father and mother is simply as this. God said so. Period. He's the creator of all things. So how do you honor your mother and father when they don't deserve it? Well, there's one thing I'll tell you, and I can say this from personal experience about my birth father. Don't talk bad about him to anybody. You know, Colossians 3:8 says this, but now put away all the following, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. James 4:11 says, don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Now, he's talking about those within the church, but I think we should also expand that outside as too. But whenever possible, give them credit for something. For me, my birth father was very mechanical. He was a great mechanic, from my understanding. I got great mechanical abilities. I can fix almost anything. I'll either fix it so it runs really good, or I'll fix it so it never can be fixed again. You take your pick, but that's what I can do. You know, one of my favorite people growing up in my younger age is the Red Green Show. What does Red Green say? If they don't find you handsome, they better find you handy. Well, God created me to be handy, so there's that. What? When my birth mother was pregnant, he took off, never to be seen again. How can you honor them in God's eyes? It doesn't matter what other people think. It's all about God's. By being, there's one thing. You can honor those parents that weren't there for you or that have fallen short of what the ideal parent is by just being a better mother or father yourself. Become an awesome mom or dad in spite of the fact. When all else fails, just remember this. We all have, and you've done your best, we all have a, when you've done your best that you can humanly do to honor your parents, remember every one of us has a Heavenly Father who is perfect and who does deserve to be honored. Nobody is the exception to God's commandments. It's not always easy to honor someone that has been. But you know, that's where you can grasp on to someone as a father figure. That's where if you're an older gentleman or woman, you can be that mentor to a younger person to help them through their difficult times. And they will honor you for that sacrifice that you've made. Going through life is not always easy. Being surrounded by Christian brothers and sisters always makes it easier. And you know what? I have a hard time figuring out how people do it that don't have a church family. Fortunately, I have a big church family because I know people all over the place. When my dad was battling his 5-month cancer with cancer, the one song that kept coming to me, and Josh told me it was going to be our invitation song, so get ready for that, is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. You know, that's who you can, and you know what? God uses others to hold us up every day. As we come and sing that Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, I want you to remember those things. Parents, allow your kids to be involved in your life. Let them know. Don't leave them in the dark. Kids, be there for your parents. It pleases the Lord. And it's not always easy, but it's always worth it.